I'm going to begin today by showing you a brief YouTube video, less than a minute long. It's called Awareness Test. Are you pretty observant? Let's see if you can solve this puzzle. Awareness Test.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make? Is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
That last sentence says, it's easy to miss something you're not looking for. Have we proved the point with the moonwalking bear? How many missed him the first time? How many saw him the second time? What made the difference? You were looking for him the second time around. You weren't looking for him the first. Here's the fact. We usually see what we're looking for. And we often miss what we're not looking for. Let me say that again. We usually see what we're looking for. We usually miss what we're not looking for. I find this true on a spiritual level. Many do not see God in their life because they're not looking for Him. Others see God in their lives every day because they are looking for Him. They're aware of His presence. They believe that He's there with them. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What's implied by the statement? Some will go through life not seeing God, while others go through life seeing God because the condition of their heart is prepositioned. They're inclined to look for the Lord, actively moving. What makes a difference? The condition of their heart. They have a pure heart. They have a heart in tune with God. They're looking for Him. They have a God-focused heart, an open heart, an expectant heart. And that's what I've titled my message today, Expectant Hearts. Expectant Hearts. Today we're going to read the Christmas story. It's a familiar story, I know, out of Luke chapter 2. But as we read, I want us to consider this theme, expectancy. Expectancy. You know, expectancy sounds a lot like expect to see. Expectancy means you expect to see something. And that's what I want us to learn today. I want us to learn to be expectant. I want us to come each day, rise and live our life expecting to see God in our life, actively involved in our life. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7. He says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. If you seek, you'll find. If you don't seek, you won't find. Knock and the door will be open to you. God rewards those who have expectant hearts. Did you come to church today expecting to meet God? Anticipating hearing God's voice? Listening for the Lord's voice? Looking for the Lord's leading? If you did, if you came with that kind of an attitude, you will not be disappointed. How do I know that? Because of what we read in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. If we're seekers, God will reveal himself. He wants to be found. He desires to be discovered. He makes himself known to those who seek him. If you don't find the Lord here today, it's not because he isn't here. It's because you're not looking for him, not searching for him. Is Jesus really here in this room today? He promises to be. Listen to Matthew 18:20. Jesus said, where two or three have gathered together in my name. Are we two or three? Have we gathered together in his name? I am there in their midst. Jesus is here. If you don't hear God's voice today, it's not because he isn't speaking. It's because you're not listening. Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Everyone has ears. We have physical ears. We hear physically. But do we hear spiritually? Let me give an illustration for a second. In this room, there's invisible radio waves. If you had a radio and you turned it on, you'd pick up that sound, wouldn't you? So the transmitter is working, but we don't always have a receiver that's open to hear. God is speaking. We can't see him, but we know he's here. And if we have ears that are tuned into God, like a radio is tuned into the right frequency, your ear will be open to hear his voice. Your eyes will be open to see. If you don't listen, you won't hear. If you don't seek, you won't find. But I promise you, if you do listen, God will speak to you. If you do look, God will reveal himself to you. Now, this truth is illustrated in the Christmas story. Jesus, the Son of God, was born in a stable in Jerusalem. God came to earth in the form of a helpless baby. Bethlehem was full of people, so many that there wasn't any room in the inns. They were all there for the census. But most of them missed this amazing event. Only a few were tuned in enough to know that God sent his son to be born in Bethlehem. It was the most significant event that ever happened up to that point on earth. And it was overlooked, missed by almost everyone. I wonder how many blessings we miss because we're not expecting them. I wonder how many brushes with God we miss because we're not anticipating them. I wonder how many of us are like the innkeeper. This baby is born on his property, in his stable, not aware. All the guests in that town, so close, yet so far. We miss out on seeing God because our eyes are not open. We miss out on hearing God because our ears are not open. Or because we're busy looking at lesser things and listening to lesser things. We're so busy with life that we miss the Lord. We're so busy with the trivial that we miss the transcendent. This is so true during Christmas season. So busy shopping, so busy doing, running here, attending this event, that event. So all the while the world is singing these songs on the radio about Jesus and coming to earth and joy to the world and way in a manger. The gospel's being shared all over the radio waves. We're surrounded by nativity scenes, yet most people in the world miss the significance of Christmas. It's just another holiday, just another gift giving, another get together with family. So today as we read Luke 2, we're going to meet a few people who did not miss Christmas. Most of them did, but a few that didn't. These are people who sought for Jesus and found him. And they had expectant hearts. They expected to see God in their life. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. We know that story. We could almost quote it. It's so familiar. You ever thought about how far they journeyed? It says they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. If you look on a map, that's about 70 to 80 miles, depending on the route they took. Now, that's a long way to travel when you're about to give birth. Amen, ladies? It may have been up to a week if they traveled 10 miles a day. I don't know about you, but if I'm not, but if I was 9 months pregnant, could I walk 10 miles in a day? Now, we don't know what their means of travel was. They may have walked. They may have rode a donkey. That's how most of the movies show it. Or they may have been in a cart. But any way they traveled, it must have been a difficult trip, wouldn't you say? 10 miles a day, 7 days, 70 miles. Ladies, does that sound like fun to you? 9 months pregnant? It must have been miserable. Today, we don't think anything of going 70 or 80 miles. We'll do that in an hour in our car, a week by foot. Ready to go in labor at any time. Probably worried that they might have the baby en route. But as you know, they got there just in time. Let's see what happens in verse 6. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That is stated so simply, so casually. She gave birth. But you who have had children know that this is a traumatic event. There's a lot locked up in the words, she gave birth. Giving birth is a life-changing event, especially your first baby. Now, after two or three, maybe it's old stuff for you. This is her first baby. She'd never gone through this before. And now she gave birth to the Messiah. What an amazing story that God came to earth in such a humble way. Not in a clean hospital, but in a dirty stable. Not in a well-lit room, but by moonlight or candlelight. Jesus was not delivered by a doctor, but by an inexperienced carpenter. He was not surrounded by nurses, but by livestock. He was not laid in a beautiful crib, but in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. What a humble beginning for God's Son to come to earth. Who was the first to get the birth announcement? Was it the innkeeper? On property, right there. Did they go knock on his door and tell him? Nope. Was it the Jewish priests? The Jewish priests knew that Jesus would be born someday, a king would be born in Bethlehem. Were they there looking for Jesus, anticipating his birth? Nope. Was it the Roman politicians? No. The first one to get the birth announcement were the shepherds out in the field. Let's read about it, verse 8. In the same region, there came some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. We've read this so many times, I think we overlooked the sheer terror that these shepherds must have experienced. Here they were outside in the dark, maybe sitting around a cozy fire, settled in for the night, maybe ready to doze off. Suddenly, they saw a bright light. The glory of the Lord. This is the brightest light of all. And it was not just a light, but a magnificent being was there. It says the angel of the Lord was there. I mean, you've turned on the bright lights when you've been in a dark room and your eyes are numb. Here this light appeared and they were afraid. I mean, what could bring such light out here in the wilderness? And then an angel starts speaking. You know, it had been centuries since God had appeared. It's not like this happened every day. The heavens had been quiet for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Silent. No word from heaven. No angel appearances. No wonder these shepherds were terribly frightened. No wonder when Mary saw that angel 9 months before, she was terribly frightened. Angels just don't appear, except for now in this story. They likely assumed that they were in trouble. Wow, God sent his angels after us. Because when in the Old Testament, angels appeared as often to announce judgment. Were they about to be consumed by fire? Had they done something wrong? Were they ready to meet their maker? Then that angel spoke. Verse 10. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." He knew what they were feeling. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The angel reassured them that they needn't be afraid. He was delivering good news, joyful news. What was his good news? The Savior had been born that night. the long-awaited Christ, the Messiah, the one that they've talked about throughout the Old Testament, throughout those 400 silent years, they're all looking forward to the Messiah coming. The angel says, he's come. He's been born in Bethlehem. Verse 12. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Why were the shepherds chosen to get the first birth announcement? Nobody knows for sure. We're not told. I have a suspicion. I suspect it's because they had expectant hearts. They, of all people, were looking forward to Messiah come. What did these shepherds do for a living? They raised sheep. And what are sheep for? Mainly for sacrifices. Every day, sheep were being sacrificed in the temple. So these guys raised sheep and they saw them sacrifice. They knew the scriptures. They knew in Isaiah 53, it says that the Lamb of God will be led to slaughter like a lamb. They understood the scriptures that compared the Messiah somehow with a lamb. John knew it. Later, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I imagine these shepherds spending long evenings around the fire, pondering, discussing how the coming Messiah was somehow going to be like a sacrificial lamb. How did that work? They didn't know. But I think God rewarded their anticipation by bringing them to the stable to see this little Lamb of God. Verse 15, when the angels had gone away from the heavens into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. They wasted no time. They immediately went to what? Find Jesus. They would seek and you shall find. Were they disappointed? No. Just like the angel said, they sought for him and found him. Now listen, if you seek the Lord, you will find him. If you listen, you will hear him. What did they do next? What did they do? They went and told everybody about Jesus. Did the whole multitudes come and flock to see Jesus? No. Most people weren't even aware. But listen to what they said. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which was been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at all the things which were told them by the shepherds. Shepherds told people, but most people weren't interested. Most people missed Christmas. Shepherds were excited about it because they were anticipating it. God chose shepherds to be the first to hear about Jesus, the first to see Jesus, and the first to share about Jesus. Shepherds, lowly ones, likely because they had expectant hearts. Let me ask you, do you want to see Jesus in your life? Do you want to hear his voice? Do you want to sense his presence? Then come to God with expectant hearts each day. Say, God, I want to see you. I want to hear you. Reveal yourself to me. He will. He loves to reveal himself to you. As we continue reading in this chapter, chapter 2, we meet two more people. We could go into other chapters. We could talk about the wise men. They sought Jesus and found him, right? There's plenty of people that we could be talking about, but I'm just sticking to this chapter. I'm going to talk about two people, Simeon and Anna. It was in your scripture reading. The first one is an old man. We don't know how old he is, but his name is Simeon. Listen to this story. It's fascinating. Luke 2:21. And when 8 days had passed before Jesus' circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given him by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Jewish sons had to be circumcised on the 8th day and then dedicated to the Lord in the temple 40 days. 40 days. At this time, in the temple, we meet Simeon. So Jesus is just over a month old. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. What am I talking about? Expectation. He's looking. He's anticipating. He's excited about the coming Messiah. and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Notice a couple things about this man. Notice his character and his quest. What's his character? It says he was righteous and devout. He was sold out to God. He lived rightly. That's what it means to be righteous. He was right with God, deeply devoted to God. And it also says that the Holy Spirit was resting on him. Remember, later the Holy Spirit came upon everybody that were believers in Acts chapter 2. So the Holy Spirit came upon some individuals. This is one of those men that had the Holy Spirit resting on him, and he had spiritual insight like nobody else. What was his quest? He was looking for the consolation of Israel. He's looking for the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. He had a single focus. Every child that came through the door, he's looking for him who would someday be the Savior. This is the kind of person who finds God, those who seek God with all their heart. Look at verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, get this, that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. God had revealed to this old man, you're going to live until you finally see the Messiah. So every child he looked at, could this be him? He's anticipating. He's expecting. Wow. Simon was a seeker. It was his greatest desire to see this Messiah that was coming. Is that your desire? Karen Maines wrote a book several years ago called The God Hunt. Have any of you heard of that book? The God Hunt. Some of you have. It challenges readers to look for God in everyday experiences, to become more aware of God's daily interventions, God's miracles. Her conclusion is, God rewards genuine seekers. That's my point of this message. God will reward you if you're looking for him. Here in Luke 2, we see God rewarding Simeon. He sought the Lord, and he found the Lord. Look at verse 27. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Somehow God enabled Simeon to recognize this baby is different, the Messiah, and he began praising God and thanking God. Did you notice what Simeon called Jesus? My eyes have seen your salvation. God had revealed to Simeon the true mission of Jesus was not just to be a baby, not just to live among us, not just to be a teacher, but to be the Savior of the world. What's his name mean? Jesus means he shall save his people from his sins. He said, I've seen your salvation. Now that his quest was over, he said, I can depart in peace. What's that mean? I can die in peace. I don't have anything else to look forward to now. The one thing I was looking forward to, I finally found. I'm fulfilled. Have you met Jesus? Have you asked him to forgive your sins? Are you ready to depart in peace if God called you home today? Have you made your peace with God through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? I hope each one of you comes to grips with that and gives your life totally to Christ. He's calling you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. You got to open that door. You got to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want to be ready to meet my Maker. There was someone else present in that temple who was also a seeker. Her name was Anna. Anna. Let's read about her in verse 36. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, had lived with her husband for 7 years after their marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer. What do we learn about Anna from this verse? Well, number one, we see that she's a widow. That means her husband has passed away. She's only married 7 years. So let's assume she was married as a young lady. And 7 years later, she loses her husband. Now she says, it says she was advanced in years. She's 84. So sorry if I'm offending any of you. Some of you are 84. The Bible says you're advanced in years. I'm not saying it. I'm just reading it. So she'd been a widow and lived now till 84 years old. What was she doing all those years? Serving day and night. Serving others. That's what you call a God-fearing woman. She's not serving herself. She's serving others. And she's called here a prophetess, which means God must have spoke through her sometimes. And she was involved in a difficult ministry. What was her ministry? Fasting and praying. All that's found in this verse. Was she in tune with God? Boy, was she ever. She's living every day in the temple. Well, I go to church 3 days a week, Monday, Sunday, Wednesday, and this lady was there 7 days a week, every day in the temple. Why was she always in the temple? We're not told. I know why, though. I think she knew Malachi 3:1. Listen to this verse. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come. She took God's word literally. She said, the Lord whom I'm seeking, the Messiah who Simeon is seeking, is going to someday come into this temple. I want to be there every single day watching for him. She didn't want to miss the coming of the Messiah. Let me ask you, why do you come to church? Is it for the fellowship with friends? I see all of you have good friends here. That's wonderful. Is it for that social interaction? Some of you may be single and lonely, and this is where you get your social interaction. You want to be around other people. Maybe you come to church to learn more about the Bible, learn more about God, learn more about life. These are all good reasons, excellent reasons to come to church, but it's not the best reason. Like Anna, we should go to church because we expect to see God, not our friends. We expect to meet Christ. It's not just God's people who minister to us, but God, through his people, who ministers to us. It's not just the Bible that speaks to us, but God, through his Bible, speaks to us. Look past the people and see God. Look past the message and hear God. Anna was listening, and Simeon, when he spoke up, God spoke to her right through Simeon. He was doing this little sermon about Jesus. Listen to what happens in verse 38. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She saw and heard Simeon and joined in the celebration. And what did she do? She gave thanks to who? Did she give thanks to Joseph? Did she give thanks to Mary? Who'd she give thanks to? She saw God beyond Joseph and Mary. She thanked God for sending his son, the Savior of the world. She too knew that this child was not just another baby boy coming in to be dedicated. She perceived that he was the promised Redeemer, the Messiah. Now, how did Simeon and Anna recognize Jesus? Did Jesus have a little halo around his head? That's what the paintings show. There's no halo. They just had eyes. The Holy Spirit had given them insight, discernment. God opened their eyes to see what others could not see. They saw what everyone else missed. Babies coming through every day. Suddenly, this one is the Messiah. How will you recognize Jesus in your life? Only by staying in tune with him. By listening for the still, quiet voice of God's leading. If you seek him, he will reveal himself to you. Amen? As we close, I want to share one more observation. All those who saw Jesus responded verbally. The shepherds went to Jerusalem and shared the good news. Whether anyone would listen or not, it didn't matter. They were sharing what they saw. Simeon spoke up in the temple. He didn't keep it to himself. He didn't pull him aside and say, I think this may be the baby. He spoke to everybody that would listen. My eyes have seen the Messiah. And Anna said she spoke to everybody that would listen. My point is, when you hear the good news, don't keep it to yourself. You need to share it. Christmas is the best time of year to share your faith. Christ is the theme of most of our Christmas songs. People are hearing the gospel. This is the time to gently remind people of the true meaning of Christmas and to look for Jesus, not just the celebration. This is the time to invite your friends to a Christmas Eve service. That's why I gave you these sheets. Not to remind you, you're here, you know what's happening. This is for you to give to a neighbor and say, would you join us for Christmas Eve? We're going to have hot cocoa and sing Christmas carols tonight. And they're going to get the gospel. This is your opportunity to share what you've received. God wants us to always be looking for Him, listening for Him, and sharing about Him. Amen? Have expectant hearts. Expectancy. Expect to see God every day in your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful record of these people who sought you and found you, who are opened and recognized you. And Lord, I know that there's people in this room today that maybe the message of the true gospel slipped by all the chaos in their life. I pray that right now they would humbly submit to you and call out to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Help each one in this room to find you and to keep seeking you all the days of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together for a closing song.